Summer Part 3.
Unschooling mit meiner Mama.
It was created by someone else, and it was actually, all of this was designed, like the school system was designed. It was like, there's that quote, was it John D. Rockefeller? Or was it said, I do not want a society of thinkers, yes. I want a society of workers. Yes. It was designed to create product, children being the raw material, and then honed into the product required to make this society function the way that it is. So none of it was about education whatsoever. It was not about fulfilling human potential, even a little bit. It was about providing workers for the Industrial Revolution. And that was it. It had nothing to do with the well-being of humans on this planet. And it's very crazy. Clearly stated, the original intentions of school. You can do that. You can go down those rabbit holes. You can read the documents. You can, you know, what's his name? John Taylor Gatto. Go ahead, read his books. Listen to his podcast, Short and Angry History of American Education. Like he dug out all the history. It's all there, all the evidence. There is no question. This system was designed to break the human spirit, and it is clearly stated. So I don't see how anyone thinks that there's anything to salvage from that. What value could you possibly derive from something that was created to break your child? And yet we think, oh, the system's broken. No, the system's actually functioning.
It's working.
Yeah, it's doing exactly. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. And you're trying out of your fear of not having some kind of structure. Like, it's kind of like, it reminds me of if you were in prison like your whole life, and then someone opened the door and you walked outside and you're like, oh fuck no, this is too scary, I'm going back in there, and you go back in. It's like, that's what people are doing, because freedom is terrifying. Freedom is terrifying. Not having something to turn to, not having something to turn to outside of yourself for the answers, is terrifying. No one wants to be responsible for themselves.
Yeah.
No one wants to be responsible. Certainly don't want to be responsible for your children. It's terrifying to be responsible for another human being, but no one wants to be responsible for themselves. You want someone to blame, and therefore you want someone to tell you what to do. There's a sense of security in that. There's a sense of safety in that. If I just do what someone else says, then I can blame them when it goes wrong. It's not on me.
Easy.
You know? It's easier to trust someone else than to trust yourself, because then you're just left with yourself. And that's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I don't think people really want freedom, actually. I don't think people really, I think that that's, we want like a little bit of freedom enough to make us feel like we've got some freedom, but we don't really want to be free. Like, we don't want to live with the consequences. Like, we don't want to live with the implications of true freedom in ourselves. And I don't mean that like, in an anarchy kind of way. I mean that like in your own self, like to live with that sense of freedom. It's beyond, it's totally terrifying. But children are not afraid.
No, they love it.
You see them, at least not in their first few years before we've completely like, you know, restructured them, but like they're naturally incredibly trusting.
Yeah,
of their environment, of you, of themselves, of their own. They're incredibly trusting of their own perception, of reality around them. And I think that they are incredibly trusting of us, of the adults around them, of their parents. And it's huge to have a little person looking to you for the answers. Yeah. And so it's much safer, I think, and more comfortable for most people to just pass that on to someone else. And for it not to stop at you, for your child to look at you and go asking like some profound question. And it's easier for you to just like pull out a textbook or look it up on Google or find someone else that has the answer, rather than to like, say, I don't really know, actually. That's like so scary.
It's
so
scary. It's crazy, isn't
it? But I think it's incredible how many times I had a question and my mom, like an existential question.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yes.
And instead of answering it, and instead of answering it with her own belief, my mom would say, well, nobody really knows. What do you feel like?
Yeah.
That's like incredibly powerful and terrifying. And I think that, you know, especially if you come from a religious background or if you're wanting to, you know, pass on your religion to your children, that's not acceptable.
Yes.
But it's the same. Yeah. I'm sorry to the religious people. If you have strong religious ties, I do feel that that it's the same. That you
it is.
That it's the same.
Yeah.
It's schooling. It's still schooling. It's still not to say you can't share your own beliefs. It's absolutely fine. Say, well, I think this. You know, I believe this. This is my, you know, what I feel. But to say it as if it's the truth and to not allow your child to have their own experience, to me, that's the same thing as you're cutting them off from their sense of rightness. And this is total heresy, what I'm saying right now. This is very anti-Christian, anti, because that's also looking to a higher authority, that there is something out there somewhere that knows what's best for you, that knows better than you, and that you have to obey and listen, and then you'll be okay. And so what I'm saying, what I go to, because if you take this as far as it'll go, and you can, you take it as far as it'll go, it is very anarchy in a sense. It's kind of saying like, no one knows, like, and it might even come down to like, I don't really consider myself an atheist. But I also don't think that there's a, you know, an authority. I'm more of the sense that's why I have so much trust in children, and I am willing to let them make up their own minds, is because I do believe that God lives within them.
Yes, isn't it?
It's not some distant, like, and I, you know, I'm even hesitant to use the word God because I don't necessarily, I don't experience there to be like a separate higher power. So. I do feel that it's kind of like the kingdom of heaven is within. I feel that human beings, and that I look into a child, and when I see a child, they are perfect and divine and whole and complete. And I don't see them as being broken or lacking or in need of shaping and molding and changing and fixing. I don't see them that way. I see them as being perfect, whole, and complete. And of course that there is some guidance required to navigate this physical realm. But that's not on the deeper level. I'm never going to tell my child through any means, you know, that their experience is wrong. That how they experience how they experience themselves in the world is wrong, because that to me is the underlying issue in everything and everyone. Is this sense of wrongness, that we feel wrong, that we don't belong here, that we don't know what's right for ourselves, and I don't mean no in a mental sense, but it's just like, when children ask those existential questions, I don't want to give them the answers I made up.
Yeah.
I want to say, I don't know. Like no one actually knows. This is what I feel, but you might feel something different. Because to me, that's the most respectful. To me, that's the deepest respect I can have for another human being, is to say, actually, I don't know. What's your experience? You know, this is my experience. This is what I think. This is what I feel. But your experience is just as valid. If that's really true for you, that's your experience, that there is a God and a higher authority, like, then I respect that. And that's beautiful for you. I'm happy for you. It's not, I don't want to take that away from you. And I think children might surprise you. And if you don't tell them how things are, if you don't tell them how things are, they might surprise you. They might tell you how they think things are, how they feel things are. And it might open your mind to something new, you know, but I feel that anywhere that we're so extremely attached to things, things are this way. I know this is how it is. We miss out on a magical opportunity.
Yeah.
And this is like it has nothing and everything to do with unschooling, because to me, you take anything far enough, this is where we end up. And it's it doesn't matter what the topic is, you take anything far enough, this is where you end up. And so I think that most people will stop somewhere along that path. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't or that that's a bad thing. I just think most people will probably stop their comfortability level. We all have different comfortability levels with the unknown. And I think that most people will stop at some point along that journey. And they'll stop somewhere. It doesn't matter where it is, but I notice it in unschoolers, especially because they're very much exploring that path.
Yeah.
Unschooling people who are choosing to allow freedom for their children, they'll take it so far. And for some people it's, we do mostly, but we do math worksheets. That's as far as they were able to take it. That's as far as their fear let them go, you know? Or maybe that's a judgment on my part, but that is what I think. That's my opinion. That's my perspective. Yeah. It's as far as their fear will let them go. It's as far as their beliefs will let them go. Their beliefs about themselves, about their children, about what you're doing here on the planet, about who you are, about what you are, about, you know, your spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs. That's as far as their beliefs will let them go, is to say like, well, you know, yes, I can allow my child to learn this naturally and that and this, but, you know, in this area, I know that they need to be controlled and monitored. And that's as far as that'll let them go. And then other people, it goes a little further and a little further and a little further. But I do find that most people will stop somewhere.
Yeah.
They'll only go so far down that path because it is radical. It is incredibly radical. Yeah. And it'll take you down every crazy rabbit hole and every wild conspiracy theory and everything. Because if you start, it's like the thread that unravels the whole sweater. Some people just catch a snag somewhere along the way and maybe don't go unraveling the whole thing. Maybe they don't want to, you know. They're afraid they're going to be cold if they unravel the whole sweater. So, and I understand. I completely understand. And I don't think it's for everyone. And I'm not saying everyone should do it. Someone asked me one time if I thought unschooling was for everyone. And I said, well, I said, I think it's for every child, but it's not for every
parent. For every child, yeah. Not for every parent. I had the same thing.
Radical, it is like, that is a good word. I don't like the term radical unschooling because that goes into like a whole other thing that to me has gotten really, really scary. Some really scary things I've heard coming under the guise of radical unschooling, which is like, you know, teenagers wearing diapers, playing video games 24/7 because parents say we're unschooling and that's their choice and that's their freedom. And I'm just like, that's actually, to me, that's child abuse and they'd be better off in school. So there's those kinds of areas. I think it really does come down to your underlying beliefs about what you are as a human being, but what you are. I think that is what it all comes down to. I think that is going to determine everything in your choices with how you raise your children, how you view your children, because you will view them the way you view yourself. So whatever your underlying, your deepest belief is about yourself, consciously or unconsciously, oftentimes mostly unconsciously, that is how you will relate to and treat your children. So how you treat your children, and this is why I think my mom says like this is the deepest spiritual path, is because if you allow it and if you question it, how you treat your children will show you, if you don't know already, you know, it'll show you how you see yourself unconsciously. It'll show you your deepest, truest beliefs about who you are and what you are and where you came from and what you're doing here, because how you treat your children tells all.
That's true. You know what? Really, I think unschooling is really something about not just removing school from the child's life. That's of course, that's a non-brainer for me. But I think unschooling for my family is really being on your soul path and nobody is talking you out of your shit. Whatever mm-hmm. you feel like is your thing to do on this planet. Because I felt as a kid, I had the strong feeling like this and this and this is my thing. This is what I need to fulfill in life. And when I was super young, but I had this feeling, this is it. And this is what my soul wants to do right now in this life on this planet. But people mm-hmm. talk me out of it all the time, of course. And for me, unschooling is the ultimate path of spiritual evolvement, or whatever you want to call it, adventure. Yeah. Yeah. Because you are free to discover that. And what I really learned from my child, because of course we have these conversations, where are we coming from, why are we here? And it's always like, dude, if I knew that would be awesome, but I unfortunately don't know. I just know it for myself. Everyone else has to figure it out for themselves, and nobody can ask for help or get solutions from somebody else. I mean, helping each other out and listening and give space and room and all these things. But you have to go this path by yourself, for yourself. And this is beautiful. This is fucking awesome. Just imagine you're coming onto this planet and your parents are like, wow, just evolve spiritually. Like, what the fuck? This is heaven. So no. I think unschooling, I don't like the term anymore as well. I don't even have another term, but as you said, people do understand what we're talking about if we call it unschooling instead of just living. It's really the ultimate freedom of discovering your own soul without somebody is like, oh, you can't do this. God is in the church. God is in the temple. Yeah, might be, but God is in you, dude. This is where he is.
And, well, and I think, I mean, discovering for yourself is not something anyone was at, any of us, well, I was, but most people were not encouraged to do was to discover for yourself. No, there's already a set path, a set rules, a set belief system. This is right. We have, you know, this is our beliefs. And we teach them, most people teach them as the truth, you know, and they teach them as the truth. And it, I think oftentimes it comes from, what's the word? It's loving. I'm not like, I know religious families that to them it is the truth, and that's loving to teach your children the truth. And that's, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And I'm not wanting to like, you know, disregard, dismiss the intention. I think it's beautiful. But I really, really appreciated how my mom really allowed us to develop our own sense of what is and who we are and what we're doing here. And she was a very deep spiritual seeker. We had, Jesus was on the wall, but also so was, you know, different Hindu saints and holy people. And my mom had a metaphysical bookstore when I was a baby. And she got into meditation and yoga when she was pregnant with me. Long before any of it became popular, certainly not mainstream. And she did everything. She did raw foods. She did this, she did that. She did every spiritual practice or path, past life regression therapy, blah, blah, like 20 years, everything she did like 20 years before the rest of the world would catch up, you know, and then something would become popular. She'd be like, yeah, I did that 20 years ago. So I was raised with a lot of different spiritual beliefs around me, you know, a lot of different ones. And I was able to explore different philosophies and different spiritualities and things like that. And my mom had her own senses and beliefs and things, but she also was very open about them. But she also was very encouraging of us to make up our own mind. She never said any of it like it was the truth or that she was right. It was all very much just like, well, this is what I think. And well, some people think this, and you know, And asking us questions back. What's your sense? What do you think? You know? And so we were able to find what worked for us, each of us individually. And in that, I feel that we also developed a really beautiful way of being open to discussing, because it was such a comfortable, open discussion. And it was never like, this is the right way and you're wrong. And so there was no like conflict around it. It was very much open discussion and respectful. And so I remember getting older and being confused by the hatred and the violence and the that would occur. And I remember having a discussion with some girls. I was about 12, and they were Christian, born again, I think. And they were really genuinely concerned for my eternal soul because I was a friend and they liked me. And they, it was really quite heartbreaking because they genuinely believed I was going to burn in hell unless I came with them and got saved. And I remember being very confused by the fear, for one thing. And then also at the lack of ability to have an open discussion about what they thought. And I'd be like, well, why do you think that? And it would just be like, because that's what the Bible says. I was like, yeah, but why do you believe it? Yeah. And they couldn't answer me because that's the truth. And I'm like, yeah, but according to who and why do you believe that's the truth? Because there's somebody else, a lot of people out there that think they have the truth. Why did you choose to believe that one? You know? And they couldn't answer me. And it's because they don't know, because they never were asked. They never were told that it was up to them to make that choice. And so when I'm asked, like, well, why do you believe that? Like, I have an answer. Well, because it makes sense to me, because this, that, and I know this, and this, I have that, and that, and that. But a lot of people can't even have a discussion about their beliefs because they don't know how they even arrived there.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a process. It was just, this is how it is. That's how it is, and that's how it is. And there was no process to get there. So for me, all of my beliefs and convictions, I had to go through my own process to get to that belief or conviction. Yeah. And so I can walk you back through it. But it's interesting because having these discussions at 12 years old with these girls, like they couldn't answer anything for themselves. Nothing came from them. And I remember contemplating that at 12 years old and telling my mom about it, you know, and being like, well, they don't even know why they think that, mom. They don't even know why. There's no reason. Like, and I was baffled. I was like, how can people think things and not know why they think them?
Yeah.
And then also I remember asking and being baffled by this belief that anyone who's not saved in their church by Jesus Christ will burn in hell. And I was like, but what about like the Buddha?
Yes.
I remember I was asking these questions. And I mean, it was a simple conversation because we're 12, but I remember being like, but what about this person? Like, what if someone is really a beautiful human and does all these amazing things on the planet, but they like worship a different God? Like, are they going to burn in hell? And their faces, it was like, they didn't really know how to answer because they'd never really thought of that before because they'd never been encouraged use their own mind to ask questions of things that didn't make sense to them. They were never asked to make sense of anything.
That's so sad.
And like, and that's what school is doing. It's like, I can say this about religion, but I can say this about literally any organized, like school is also doing the same thing. Like, no, they're not being encouraged to find answers. You're being encouraged to regurgitate answers that were given to you without reason. So you were not ever, they never ask those questions. It never occurred to them because no one ever looked at them and said, I don't know, sweetie, what do you think? And then they had to go, oh, what do I think? And then those little cogs of the machine, you know, like their wheels start turning, like their wheels were crippled.
Mm-hmm.
Their wheels never started turning. They never wondered for themselves. And if they did, it got shut down pretty quick, you know, in those first few years, they start wondering, well, but if God loves us, then why is it like that? And instead of being like, I don't know, that's a really good question. Like, let's look into that. It was just because it's like this, and that's the end of the conversation. So it's the same with this, with the school. Like, I'm not trying to just bash on religion right now. It's really just an example of how we stop curiosity, how we, whether it doesn't matter if it's religion, it could be anything, literally anything. Like, parents do religiously about other things as well. It could be about health and medical science. It could be about, it's like, okay, but if the drug is supposed to help me, then why am I feeling like this? Don't ask those fucking questions. Shut up. It is not for you to ask. Do not go down that road. Curiosity is not welcome here. Because asking questions is now considered like threatening and insulting and all of these things. So curiosity is no longer allowed in society, and then it's not allowed in children. And so when children ask these questions, we're just giving them placating answers that are really unsatisfying, but then they're told that it's wrong to continue asking those questions because you've been given the answer and that's how it is and you should be satisfied with that. And children are never allowed from that young point. It's like, well, mom, why do I have to learn this math problem? No one's ever answered that question. I'm still asking that question. Why?
Yeah.
Because I did not learn those things in that time frame when someone else said I should, and I seem to be doing okay, at least according to me, and that's all who fucking matters. So why? No one can answer that question in a satisfactory to me that's satisfying. Why do children have to learn these things at these certain times? No one's been able to answer that because there is
my son does the same. When someone is like,
you have to learn how to read.
And my son's also like, why? I don't get it.
But
why?
If you have to, then you will. If you have to, then you will. Yeah. It doesn't have to be enforced by another person.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
If it's actually necessary, then life
will. You will.
Make that
exactly.
Happen.
And I have the best example. My family was always like, he's never gonna learn anything. And I was like, okay, dude, I don't know, but I'm gonna try to set him free to figure out for himself what he wants to learn when and why. And I mean, I speak 6 languages, not all of them perfect, of course, but I consider myself a linguistic, I don't know, not genius, far from that. But
talented.
So, and I was like, okay, if my son has my genes, he has so fucking many talents, I'm not gonna pressure him into anything. And one day he woke up not so long ago and he was fluent in English because he really felt the need. He felt the need to speak with a specific person in our life that he really wanted to communicate with. Only possible in English. So he figured it out. And voila, the next day he woke up and he was almost fluent. And they don't believe me. And I was like, did you see me teach him English? No, he did it by himself.
That's how I learned. That's the same exact way that I think a lot of us who are allowed learn. And that's how I learned how to read. That's the same way that I learned how to read.
It's because you need it. It's for your life.
It's a personal. Yeah. It's you find exactly. A personal reason. When you have a personal reason, children are unstoppable and they will learn. Shocking. It'll be shocking. Yeah. What?
Within
and how much? And they'll, it's ridiculous when they encounter their own personal reason. And I think that a lot of parents really just need to be encouraged with patience because
and trust.
They will trust patience, trust, and they will they absolutely will learn the things they need to learn to live the lives they want because they want those lives for themselves. And so they will do everything it takes to overcome these things are obstacles.
Yeah.
It's like, what kid is going to get to 20, 25 years old and not drive a car? Because you didn't make them learn. Like, no, that's something they need for their life, for their independence. That's something they crave for themselves. And all of these things we're talking about, reading, writing, basic math, basic, any of this stuff, it's like a passport to freedom. And children desire deep, intrinsic human nature desire for independence and freedom. It's like you see it from the moment they're, oh my gosh, like I know toddlers, I've spent so many times with toddlers, it's shocking to me that anyone thinks that any child who's in a loving, supportive environment, and I have to make a point of that because I know that there's a lot of other influences going on that can derail, but if you're in a loving, supportive environment, a human being is going to push away a parent's helping hand and want to climb up the stairs themselves. Okay. It will happen. They want to walk on their own. They want to talk for themselves. They want to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
They want to do it themselves. They don't always want you spoon feeding them. They're going to pick up the spoon and feed themselves at some point. And all of these life skills that we're talking about, the ones that are actually needed, required for living a full and independent life, will get learned. They're in the same category as walking, talking, feeding yes. yourself. They're in the same category.
Yeah.
So, and if they're not in that category, then what are you so concerned about? Trigonometry? True. Is that really, that's not in that category. I don't know shit about trigonometry.
But me neither. That, and I went to
but
school.
That's not in my category, but it's not in my category, yeah. you know, and history and certain science, like certain things, not in my wheelhouse, not in my realm of interest. But guess what? They aren't, they would not have provided me with anything beneficial to the life that I've chosen to live. So why would I waste precious and valuable time and energy? We're only here on the planet for a little while. We only have so much brain space. Choose carefully, you know, True. Choose carefully what you want to fill that brain space with. And you end up squandering your child's brain space. Like you squander their, the possibilities, the, by storing, making them store things in their mind that are never going to be useful to them. And you can't know what's going to be useful to them. You don't know what their future holds.
And it's stealing the lifetime as well.
And you don't know what kind of life they're going to choose to live and what they're going to need for that life. And so it's like, and beyond the basics, and when, and then the basics, people are like, well, they have to learn the basics. I'm like, well, if they have to, they will. Yeah. That's in that category of walking, talking. It's like reading and writing was something that gave me independence. I encountered a personal reason for that. And that was my own motivation and that got me through that. And you can't, there's a certain point in life that you can't get beyond without reading and writing because of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And no child is just going to go, I guess I'll just live at home forever and not like read my own menu at a restaurant and not like have my own phone or drive a car or like get a job or have my own money because I don't know how to read. That's not going to happen. They're going to learn how to read. They're going to do it themselves without your help if they have to.
Yeah. And so effectively.
You couldn't stop them if you tried. You couldn't stop them if you tried, because it gives them independence from you, which is what every human being craves at some point in their development.
So true. I love that. I need to end this episode.
Yeah,
I wish I did. But it's dinner time and I see them walking behind the door. I see the shadow about, I think the cat is not involved, but at least two dogs and two kids, they're walking like in front of the door, like all the time. Like, oh my God, is she coming out soon? Is she coming out? We're hungry. I like being a mom, to be honest. I like this responsibility. I like where it takes me emotionally, spiritually, and as a human being. It really takes me to a place where I need to really learn about humanity, about human beings, about the deep, deep, deep questions. So I think everyone who is outsourcing parenting is stealing away this opportunity for themselves to really discover life. This is my thing. I think really the people are afraid to discover themselves, so they cannot allow that their children to be themselves.
Yes. No, that is it. That totally is it. And that's what my mom always says too.
Yeah. And, nice. Yeah. Cool. I like
every time she's amazing. every time I get into these conversations, it's like I realize that I can't just scratch the surface. Like you go all the way or you don't. And it's like maybe some people can, but I can't hold those contradictions in my mind. Like to me, you follow it far enough and you get to the basic underlying issue of what you are.
This is what we do all the day, thinking about why the fuck are we here? This is what we do. And people are,
and children will tell you, like children have like incredible answers to these questions for themselves. It's so beautiful. I knew when I was very young, I was very little, and I very much felt that my entire purpose for existing was to exist.
Yeah.
Like, was to witness. To exist, I was very aware that when I was very young, that like, for some reason I had this purpose to witness beauty, like to recognize, because I felt like I was one of the few people. I'd look around and no one else would notice the things I would notice. Mm-hmm. And the beauty and the magic and the awe and the wonder of everything that was around us all the time. And I felt like everyone was blind to this whole magical, beautiful world that I could see and experience. And I remember thinking, like, maybe that's my job here is, like, you know, like, I was really young and I just felt like maybe that's my job here is just to, like, to be the only one that, like, recognizes and witnesses and experiences and maybe on occasion be able to draw attention, you know? And that's how I was as a child. I was constantly like, look at this, look at that, look how amazing that is, look how beautiful this is. Like, can't you see? And, you know, and it mostly had to do with plants and nature, and it turned into a love of herbalism and being like, look at the magic in this plant. Like, it can heal your liver. Like, look at this, like, look at that. So that was where it went. That's where it went for me when I was very young. It was like sharing that and got into plants and herbalism. And it's cool. Like, now I have a tea and chocolate shop in Mexico where people like come and literally ask me, like, do you have something that's good for this? And like, I've really kind of expanded it into my own little ministry.
I love that. I don't know how life will unfold, but I really wish I could drop by your store and get some stuff for somebody. That would be like major challenge to make this come true, but let's see.
Come and have tea and chocolate in Mexico.
I love it. Okay. Hey, Summer, thank you so much
for
all your input. I really enjoy our conversations because
me too. Deep. Somehow you inspire it. You definitely inspire it somehow.
Yeah, because I really want to know. This is my purpose, you know. This is my purpose because I studied religious science and I was always up my parents' ass about what am I doing here? I don't get it. Why am I the only one who's thinking about this question? I didn't.
That's how my mom. Yeah, that's totally how my mom was as well.
Crazy. Yeah. I love it. I love this role now because it makes people aware maybe of this aspect of life, which they buried underneath learned things in school.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much. And I hope
thank you. Yes.
Nice.
Maybe cool, next time. Cool.